Please turn with me now in the Word of God to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, and reading verse 38. That's the last verse of the chapter. Mark chapter 8, and reading the 38th verse. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And my title this morning is simply, Who is on the Lord's Side? Most of you, I'm sure, will recognize that title from a hymn. And this is really what we see here in this single verse. There is a line, there is an invisible line drawn in the sand, as it were. I'm either in the kingdom of God, in the eternal kingdom, a child of God, saved by grace, or I'm either in the kingdom of darkness, under the Satan's power and grip. So you can't, and many people are confused with this issue. Some people think that you can sit on the fence. You can be a Christian. You can be a child of God, and yet you can be a part of the popular culture of this world. But you can't. Not according to this verse. You're either in one kingdom or the other. It's such an important issue to understand. Now, in our Lord's time, at this particular time in his ministry, the antagonism and hatred towards him was starting to grow. It was really starting to get. It didn't reach its height, its peak yet at this stage, but it was starting to get a lot worse. The Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, challenge him earlier in this chapter. They challenge him. They want to see a sign from heaven. And already he's performed so many miracles, but the hatred towards him is growing. And there is pressure from the Jewish leaders to reject Christ. And we know this when we look at other Gospels. For example, you look at the Gospel of John and you look at chapter 9, and when he healed that man who was blind from birth, and the Pharisees are very skeptical about this, about Christ and how he did this, and they call in his parents, and his parents distance themselves. We don't know what happened. And the reason why, the narrative tells us in John chapter 9, is because they feared the Jews, that is the Jewish leaders. They didn't want to be thrown out of the synagogue if they profess Christ. So there's mounting pressure at that time to either go along with the Jewish leaders or to profess Christ. You can't have it both ways. And this is what the Lord is saying in this verse. You're either with me or you're on the wrong side if you reject me. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now we as human beings, we all have needs. And one of the great needs that we have, which is not really spoken about very often, but I want to bring it to our attention this morning because it's quite relevant to this verse, and that is our need to be accepted. We all have a great need to be accepted. We want to have that sense of belonging. And if I don't belong to the Lord, and if I'm not accepted by my Creator, I will be looking for acceptance and a sense of belonging in the wrong place, in the wrong places. For example, many and most people look for acceptance and a sense of belonging in this world. What do I mean by that? Well, the opinions, what is important, what the world deems as popular, will be very, very important to me. It'll mean everything to me. And this is what I mean by that sense of need that we all have. We want to belong to something. We want to have a sense of belonging. We want to be accepted. But without the Lord, we will look for this acceptance in the wrong place. Now, according to this verse, this is very dangerous. If I look for acceptance and belonging in this world, it's very dangerous to do this. Because if I Because if I look to this world for acceptance, I will inevitably be ashamed of the gospel and of Christ. That's the inevitable outcome of looking for acceptance and belonging in this world. I will be ashamed of the scriptures. I will be ashamed of God. I will be ashamed of Christ. Well, why is this so? Why is the world ashamed of the Creator? Why is this world at war with God? Why are people ashamed of Christ and the message? Well, there are a whole host of reasons, but I'll just give you some. One of the reasons is, and we see it in this verse, let me just read the verse again, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words," here it is, "in this adulterous and sinful generation." People don't like to associate themselves with the Christian message, with the gospel, because God, the Lord Jesus Christ, condemns the world. He called that generation sinful and adulterous. And people don't like to listen to this kind of message. I don't want to be called a sinner. I don't like the Christian message. It's harsh. It's offensive. A sinful generation, it's a bit extreme. So people don't like this message. They think it's offensive. And this is really, you can gauge, you can test yourself. Am I really influenced by the opinions of this world? Well, the best way to find out whether you are greatly influenced and pressured by what this world considers important is how you react to the gospel. And when you listen to the gospel message and it talks about sin and our need to repent, if I'm offended by that, that means that I am greatly influenced by what the world considers important. So that's how you can tell. Just like at that time, in the Lord's time, there was great pressure from the Jewish leaders to reject Christ, not to profess him. It's the same today. There is great pressure, especially among young people, to discard everything that has been taught and appreciated for generations in the past, and to accept the new morality, that which is popular, and that which is, as the Lord Jesus Christ says elsewhere, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And how true that often is, especially in today's society and culture in which we live. Well, we need to consider these things. Well, there's another reason why people are ashamed, why this world and so many of us are ashamed of the Bible, of the Lord. People think Christianity is a very weak religion. Christians are weak and timid people, and their leader is too. Look, he was crucified. He had a mission he had a great mission and he failed. Well, that's what the world will sometimes tell you, but that's not true. It was all planned from the beginning, from the foundation of the world. God planned this to be so. And in fact, it was the greatest victory conceivable. I don't have time to give you all the reasons for this. But this is what people think. Christianity is a weak religion. We don't see Christianity advertised in the media. We don't see it holding sway in society. It's a very weak, weak religion. And then there's another reason why people are ashamed of this message. Well, they think, and the media and Hollywood really go to town with this, Christians are very judgmental. They're very narrow-minded and judgmental people. They're unkind. And this is how Christians, and this is how the Bible is depicted in society today, but it's actually the complete opposite. When you investigate the Christian faith, we're the most open-minded people you will ever meet. Again, I don't have time to explain the reasons for this, but I'm just giving you the reasons why people are ashamed of Christ and his gospel. God, another reason, God has been dismissed by science. Well, that's absolute nonsense, friends. It's a complete opposite. The trouble is, people don't take time to investigate the claims of evolution. You only have to scratch a little bit under the surface, and you can see that it's a complete shambles. And even logic, the God-given logic that God gives us, you only have to look around at creation and the things that we know today concerning the complexity of life. And even the smallest cells in our body, the smallest cell is like a city. It has cellular technology. The amount of information in a cell, and this happened by chance, that's blind faith. So the idea that God has been dismissed by science is a complete farce. It's a lie. It's the greatest, one of the greatest lies in our age. Well, people are intimidated by the scientific claim, and they're bullied. You see, it's not a gentle persuasion to reject Christ. This is bully tactics that Satan uses with the influence of this world. And yet there's another reason why people, and I'm just, this is a general reason really, is that Christianity and the Bible are very, very unpopular today. If you nail your colors to the cross, if you tell the world that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is your savior, and you will follow him, well, you'll be laughed at quite often. You'll be seen as someone, you'll be called all kinds of names if you become a Christian. So these are the reasons, and there are many others, why people are ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me give you some reasons why you shouldn't be. Why you shouldn't be ashamed of the Savior, of the Scriptures, of your Creator. Well, first, the obvious reason, he is your Creator. He's the one that made you. He's given you life. He's given you breath. He's given you talents. He's given you abilities. He's given you so many things. He's given you gifts. He's given you understanding. He's given you so many. He's given you friends. He's given you people to look after you and love you. All this comes from the Lord. It says in the Bible, every good gift comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, comes from the Father. God has our real interests at heart. Here's another reason why you should never be ashamed of the Lord. He has your real interests at heart. Don't dismiss the doctor just because he diagnoses your problem. The Lord Jesus Christ, we often refer to him as the great physician. And he has to deal with our sin first before he can heal us and bless us and lavish his grace upon us. And people, so many people never move past that first stage. They hear of their condition and they're greatly offended at it. But that's foolishness, friend, because God really has your true interests at heart. And that leads me to the next point, why you shouldn't be ashamed of your God. God is honest with you. He is honest. You read the Bible, it's blunt. It's unashamed. It's so honest with us. If I want to be lied to, then don't seek after God. Just go with what society says. Society tells us that we're good at heart. Society will tell us, this world will tell us that we can follow our own hearts. And it sounds very nice. It sounds very sentimental, but it's actually very dangerous advice. Follow your heart, the pop songs tell us, or the videos tell us. But it's dangerous. We're good at heart, but you only have to look at the world around you. You see the wars, you see the world in turmoil, and I look, and if I'm honest with myself, I search my own heart, and that claim is like a fairy tale. It's not true. We are not good at heart. We're inherently evil. There are good things. We're capable of good things, but the Bible's true. We're fallen. We're fallen, and we're sinners. And here's another reason why you shouldn't be ashamed of your Creator. You're dealing with the God who is sovereign over all history, over all the history of the world. You're dealing with the Creator who cannot be mocked. It's impossible to outsmart the Lord, your Creator. In Proverbs, there's this wonderful verse concerning the providence of God. It goes like this. There is no wisdom, there is no counsel, there is no understanding against the Lord. Well, that's not true. People do plot, do plan against the Lord and his church, yes, but the Lord incorporates these plans into his own purposes. He is the only one playing on, if you see this image as someone playing chess, he is the only player. Everyone else is on the chessboard. He is in complete control over all things. You cannot outsmart, you cannot mock the Lord. You shouldn't be ashamed of one of such infinite sovereign power. Would you be ashamed of the one who is willing to leave his throne and to suffer such depths of suffering that you couldn't even imagine? The one who is willing to bear upon his own shoulders all your sin for all eternity, to suffer and die in excruciating agony so that you don't have to go to hell? Would you be ashamed of such a one? Such love? Would you be ashamed of the Creator who is worshipped by an infinite amount of angels in glory? These glorious beings who veil their faces at such glory, would you be ashamed of such a one? Would you be ashamed, and many people fall into this trap, would you be ashamed of God because he is mocked and laughed at now? It's strange, isn't it? Whose name is used as a swear word in society and culture? Buddha? Muhammad? Or no, only the Lord's name. Strange, isn't it? Well, that's Satan. You can tell that this is the true faith, that the antagonism, the hatred towards God. Would you be ashamed of him because he is mocked and laughed at now? It's not always going to be that way. Look at this verse. It's not always going to be this way. Things will be very different soon. Do you realize that this time in which we live, it's only a tiny fraction of time compared to eternity? When Christ returns, as we see in this verse, he will be vindicated before the eyes of the world. We're told in Philippians chapter 2, every knee will be forced to bow. Those who love him will bow willingly, but those who rebelled against them, they will be forced to bow and acknowledge that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will be exalted in that great and coming day. And if I'm a Christian, if I'm someone who loves the Lord, if I'm someone who is not ashamed of him in this life, I will be a part of that great celebration. It'll be the greatest day conceivable. That's if I am his. Now, the remainder of this time, I want to do a comparison between being accepted by this world and being accepted by the Lord. Let's do a comparison. If I'm accepted by this world, if I'm received by this world, am I getting a good deal or am I getting a raw deal? Will I be satisfied by belonging to this world, being accepted by this world, or with God? Which one? If I'm accepted by God, and I've said this in the beginning, and it's important to repeat this because it's very important. If I'm accepted by God, I will inevitably be rejected by this world. It's inevitable. That will be the outcome. But on the other hand, if I am accepted by this world, I will be rejected by God. It's either one or the other. You can't have both. It's so important to understand this. God's opinion is far more important than the world's opinion. Why? Because God's opinion is truth. It's the truth that really matters, friends. So let's do the comparison. What will happen if I'm accepted by God? If I appeal to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I need thee. Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me. I reject my old life. I'm willing to lose ties with this world. And we don't hate people in this world. We love people. We pray for people. But we do not involve ourselves in the things we know that are wrong. And we don't live for the things of this world. But willing to be accepted by Christ. Well, what will happen? Well, the greatest thing, friends, God will save you. He will cleanse you. He will wash you from all your sins. Not just your present sins or your past sins, but your sins for all eternity. You're forgiven entirely. From God's point of view, you've never sinned because of what Christ has done for you on the cross. So that one day you will be with your Savior forever. So he's come to save you from your sin, from the punishment of the law, from Satan and from hell. But also, he will change you radically. He will make you a brand new person. He will guide you. He will protect you through life. He will help. Christians are not excluded from troubles. As Christians, we go through many trials and troubles. And again, I told you earlier that God is very honest with us. And if you look in his word, he says it all the time. You will suffer trouble for following me. You will go through many afflictions and troubles, but here's a promise. I will be with you through every one of them. I will uphold you, I will bless you, and I will sanctify the trouble to make you a better person, to draw me closer to me. These are wonderful things we experience as children of God. He gives us great understanding and wisdom. You come to the Lord, you accept him as your Savior. He will give you so much light. He will help you. It's an amazing thing. When someone becomes a Christian, things that didn't make any sense in the past, things that were hidden from our eyes, when we come to the Lord, it's all, another dimension is open to us. Without God in our lives, we just walk by sight. We don't see the spiritual realm. We don't see the hidden moral and spiritual dangers in life. without the Lord, but when I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when he forgives me, he gives me great wisdom. He injects this spiritual light into my soul, and I'm able to see things and discern things that I've never seen before. And it's so helpful. I avoid so many pitfalls and so many unnecessary troubles in this life because of it. Have you experienced that, friend? Has that happened to you? He gives us such an amazing insight into his plans as well. We know so many things when we read the scriptures and we see how God will deal with this world, how he has dealt with this world. I will see history from a totally different angle from the truth. I will see the future. I'll be able to understand what is happening in the future. I won't be troubled by the things I see in the world. Well, I'll be troubled by what will happen to people who don't know the Lord, but my own soul, I will be greatly comforted knowing that I'm safe no matter what happens. So these are amazing things. And I've said before, though the children of God go through great trials and difficulties like everybody else, he gives us so much comfort, so much peace, so much help, so much assistance. We have so many promises. God has so many promises in the scriptures concerning the many blessings he lavishes on his children, even when they go through dark times. We have the facility of prayer. We can pray to the Lord in any situation, in any trouble, and he helps us. You can speak to any true believer, and they can tell you the tangible, practical help they receive in trouble, the many blessings they receive. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of God. I've never known any true Christian who's ever wanted to go back to the old life. No, not a chance. To be a Christian is an adventure. It's a perpetual adventure. It's wonderful. There are difficulties, yes, but the wonders and the joys and that ultimate consolation that will come when the Savior comes, and we see that in the 38th verse. Well, what about this world? We've looked at what will happen if you're accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ, but what about this world? What will happen if you seek acceptance and a sense of belonging in this world? Can it guide you and help you and bless you like God can? Well, let me tell you, the world doesn't care about you. The world has no consideration, doesn't care about you at all. I'm going to use social media as an example. Let's say I'm very depressed. We all get depressed from time to time. I'm depressed and I don't own a social media account. But let's say, for example, I send a picture on my profile on Facebook. I'm depressed and I tell everybody I'm depressed. Well, you're not going to get a lot of likes or thumbs up on your profile. You're not going to get many followers. People don't want to know about that. This world's happiness, friends, it's fake. It's not real. It's superficial at best. People, this is the kind of acceptance that you'll receive if you swear your allegiance to this world. People are constantly comparing their lives. This is what people are doing nowadays. I'm comparing my lifestyles to other people. And what happens is people's lifestyles aren't even real anymore. What do I mean by this? Again, I'm just using social media as a context. You can look at it in many other ways. People send their best moments on Twitter or Facebook. I just bought this. I'm going to send this up onto the social media. I'm with this person. I'll send that. I'm on holiday. I'll send this. But nobody knows how I really feel. Often I feel down and downcast. But on my profile, my life is wonderful. I'm having the time of my life. But people don't see the real you. And other people, they try to do better than you, and they will go to more extremes. And this is what you see happening online. People are constantly trying to do better than the other person, trying to compare themselves. This is the kind of acceptance that you'll receive in this world. It's not real. It's fake. It's worthless. It's fickle. It's useless, friend. I'm sorry to say these things, but this is the reality. And so many people fall into this trap. And what's important, and all the things that are popular, all the things that the world and this present culture seems so important, it has a grip on me. So that it's almost like being in a prison. I can't escape this. Has this happened to you? Are you in this trap? What is all the things out there, the brands and the, I don't know, all these other things, that they're so important to you. And if your friends reject you, your world will fall apart. Well, Fred, but they don't really care about you. I can tell you that, honestly. They don't really care about you. They're only trying to improve their own profile. It's a miserable circle. And people, they become so addicted to this, addicted to the opinions of others. The opinions of others are so important. And how do you feel at the end of all this? Well, you feel more empty than you did when you started. More empty inside, more depressed, and often you're very lonely. Social media, it's not social. It's people feel very lonely when they're living like this. And while I'm playing around on my phone and being distracted by so much trivia in this world, my life is slipping away. Satan is making a fool out of me. This is the kind of acceptance. This is what you'll receive if you look for acceptance in this world. It's a hoax. It's not real. It's imaginary. It's an imaginary world. Belonging to this world. What will be accomplished if I live the rest of the years of my life living for this world, living for the popular things of this world? What will happen when I die? What can I achieve when I'm on my deathbed? What will I have achieved? Well, you may have had some pleasures, many enjoyable experiences, but not very deep, not very long-lasting pleasures and experiences. You may have accumulated some things that you consider important, possessions that mean a lot to you, a nice car or things of this kind. You might think that's important. You might have many followers on your profile account, but if you're honest, how many of these people are your real friends? And that's it. That's all I have to show for my life. I'm about to die and I'm about to meet my maker. I cannot take my car with me. I cannot take all these things with me. I've got to depart from this life and meet my maker, and I've got nothing to show for it. This is the kind of acceptance. This is the kind of life we have if we look for acceptance in this world. Be more concerned, dear friend, about what God thinks of you. If there's anything I want you to take away from this message this morning, it's this: be far more concerned of what God thinks of you rather than what this world thinks of you. Because what this world thinks of you and what your friends think of you, well, it's not real. And we without the grace of God, we're all very selfish people. And we only think about ourselves. And while I might say, oh, I like what this person's wearing, I like what this person's doing, I'll approve of that, well, really, I only do these things because, well, I want to improve. I want to do better. It's all selfishness. You're not really loved and appreciated in this world. It's a hoax. It's not real. Be more concerned about what God thinks about you, being accepted by Him. The rewards of this world, yes, you enjoy many things, but live for this world. The rewards are cheap, they're fake, and they don't last. But God, by the grace of God, but God's grace is able to transform us entirely, take us out of this kingdom of darkness and ignorance on the pathway to glory, make us different people, give us lasting pleasure and joy and peace, which doesn't depend upon possessions, which doesn't depend upon what other people think of me. It's so liberating. And I tell you the truth, it's such a liberating thing. You'll be lied again by this world, which will say to you, religion and the Bible is slavery. Oh, my friend, that's a complete lie. It's liberty. It's emancipation from being imprisoned and being trapped by what other people think of me and being forced to do things and to go into things which really I feel not inclined. You're bullied by this world. But you're liberated by the Lord. He has your best interests at heart. I've already said this. He loves you with an everlasting love. He sticketh closer than a brother. There's nothing like being a child of God. The liberty, the wonder of it all. God's grace is able to save me, to change me. This is eternal. It's substantial. It's profound. It isn't a reward. I've spoken about the world's rewards. They're insubstantial, but all these things that the Lord gives us, they're undeserved. It's a gift. This is the wonderful message of the gospel. What do I have to do, preacher? What do I have to do to be received by the Lord? What must I do? Well, all you do is appeal. You ask him for grace. You ask him for wisdom. You say to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you appeal to the Father, Lord, I believe that 2,000 years ago, when you were dying on that cross in great agony and pain, you were doing that for me. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on that cross, suffering in great agony, he had every one of his children in his mind's eye, past, present, and future. And he was undertaking the torment of hell for every single one of his children on that cross. No wonder why he cried to his Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He suffered the eternal punishment that I deserve in hell, miraculously in the space of 6 hours. And he prayed that other wonderful prayer, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or, friend, all you need do is ask, and he will give. He promises to do so. Lord, forgive me. Lord, what you think of me is far more important. I want to be accepted by thee, O Lord. Lord, receive me, forgive me, change me, and make me your child. And if you pray a prayer like that, use your own words and you mean it and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will receive you. He will save you. He will change you. You will be accepted by him and the real adventure starts. Most people boost up their sense of adventure by playing video games and things like that. You won't need to play video games and things like this when you become a Christian. The Christian life is an adventure without all these things. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ for his everlasting love and forgiveness. Your salvation was sealed by his blood. So I ask, as I close, who is on the Lord's side? If you are on the Lord's side, you will experience that unimagined joy and excitement on that great and coming day when the Lord returns. That day of joy that you can't even begin to imagine. If you're not on the Lord's side, friend, don't delay. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Amen.